This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
The Yates Flooring Center chat line is open. Go to the Double T 97.3 mobile app. It's presented by Happy State Bank. Red Raider baseball today, if you have not heard, it is today. It'll be at 12:30 for first pitch. We'll have it at noon on both 100.7 The Score and Double T 97.3. They moved the game up because of weather that's going to move in late this afternoon and early evening. I think they're expecting some rain, which, you know, we'll take the rain all we can get, right?
Absolutely.
And that'll kind of help everybody's yards. And, you know, I don't know what kind of rain the farmers need. My guess is a slow, gentle rain, not something that's a gully washer. But whatever they need, give it to them, right? I mean, I'm fine with that. So, I mean, we can all put water on our yards. I mean, if you want to do that, you can do that. It's kind of hard to sprinkle, you know, put the sprinkler out for 140 acres. I mean, they've got irrigation systems and stuff like that, but that looks complicated. I mean, big machines and things like that, center pivots and stuff like that, you know, things along those. That's the extent of my irrigation knowledge, Jimmy.
Okay.
This from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. The better teams you bring in, the more money you'll get in the next media contract. I don't believe that. And the more chance your conference remains a power conference. I don't believe that either. Now, obviously, with Central Florida, I mean, they're in a bigger media market than you are here. But you have to be careful. You don't want to get swallowed up either. And all these new guys going, do we need Texas Tech? How big's Lubbock? Do we need that? We got, you know, these other schools.
Well, other things factor into it.
I know.
But if you have a cruddy school who's not any good, even if they're in a major market, it's not going to do anything for you.
No, I know. It's just, you know, just...
So do you disagree wholeheartedly with everything he's saying there? Good schools aren't going to bring you more eyeballs, which are going to bring you more money and TV contracts?
Yeah, I you know, it's funny because I don't... You know, as we've kind of whittled down to four, and it feels like that you've got basically the Big Ten and the SEC are telling you everything that's going to happen in the future and want to kind of control all the eyeballs as much as they can. It is, and then with, you know, like Clemson and Florida State wanting to leave the ACC, and who are they going to join? I guess they'll probably try to join the SEC. You want to stay relevant as much as you can, and I think having a strong commissioner like what you've got right now is really important. And you become this nationwide conference when you look at kind of how far it spreads from Orlando to, you know, Provo, Utah, you know, goes north to, you know, Iowa State to Ames, and, you know, south to here, Waco, etc.
Nobody's disagreeing with any of that, but go back to your kind of shifted your answer there. Mm-hmm. You didn't really answer the question. I mean, you really think? I mean, you're acting as if the Big 12 should go around picking up bad teams.
No,
so
I don't.
Helps Texas Tech win easier.
I don't think that.
It
no.
is going to benefit the teams in the conference if you have good teams in the conference.
Yeah,
that bring eyeballs.
Yeah, I just. No, I do agree with a lot of what you're saying. I just think that with UCF, and maybe they knew this coming in, I just think that we as fans looked at that and went, directional school. And it's not.
I think we as fans all believed in Florida. I'm just going to speak for myself.
Okay.
All right. And I'm just going to say, as a school in the state of Florida that would be added to a Power Five conference, I figured that would be a this would be a school that in all programs would get a boost.
Yeah, I think it's going to get a big. I think it's going to get a big boost.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be more competitive sooner than what people thought.
They were competitive in football this year.
Yeah,
they were,
basketball,
baseball. Absolutely. I don't think. Yeah, it's here. It's not taken.
It's a real.
It's not taking 10 years or anything like that.
No, it's a real school. I mean, you've added some real doozies. I mean, BYU, that's no slouch. And you know, the Arizona schools, I mean, they're not slouches either.
Again, we're not trying to pick bad schools.
No,
to
I know,
make it
but I mean,
for Texas Tech.
No, I know, but I mean, it's like, man, every time you turn,
no, but we could try for a little bit and just see if we
you
like
could add one Patsy. You know, it's like you don't want to. I don't know. I just kind of looked at it and went, wow, those are, that thing's diamond in the rough, and it's a little more diamondy than rough. Just quickly. Will there be another Bark in the Park game asking for a family member? Yes.
There's another one later this season. Yeah.
Are you asking for your dog? Are you asking for your daughter, your son, yourself?
Asking for a family member.
Yeah, which could be.
All of the above.
The collie or whatever. Does Winfield get to go to the game today or no?
I think with the early schedule, that's going to kill that. I was planning on bringing him tonight, but
you were?
Just
okay.
A little bit of a hassle. I got things I got to do this morning.
He's docile, right? He would.
It wouldn't bother him at all. He'd sit at my feet and you wouldn't hear a peep from him.
Could you put the mic down? Hey, Winfield, what do you think about this? You know, is he like ballpark food at all? Hot dogs, popcorn,
I bet
candy?
If I gave him some, he'd eat it.
Would that be approved by the missus?
Probably not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 6:38 this morning here on the morning drive. Coach Tadlock said on his show last night that, and you probably know this, I don't think I'm going to tell you anything that you don't know, but they played UCF their first year here. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. I did.
Was that here or was that there?
It was there.
Okay.
2014. Yeah.
Long time for a return trip there, Jamie.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, you didn't. I don't think you.
I didn't make the trip.
You didn't make that trip.
They told me to stay at the house.
Okay. So there's that. He said that he has looked at UCF a little, scores, etc. You know, and I don't think this is not a direct quote, but this was what he basically was saying: is it first Stephen F. Austin, and then UCF?
Yeah.
So I mean, but he's. Yeah. He's looked at them a little bit, and
he's never going to disrespect his next opponent and mm-hmm. say, "Yeah, we've looked at them, but I'm sure they've spent plenty of time looking ahead to UCF."
Right.
At the same time, looking at Stephen F. Austin.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're not. And they're getting on a plane tomorrow at 3:00. They're not going to, when this game is over, okay, now we'll look at UCF. See how much information we can get in the next 17 hours before mm-hmm. we get on a plane.
And I'm sure that they do. Do they kind of shift the scouting duties? Like, does one guy do this, one guy do this, one guy do this? Or
I do not know the answer to that.
Okay. I didn't know if they shifted around who scouts which games, and they rotate that through. That's generally what's done with basketball. But, you know, baseball is different. Every sport's different. Every coaching staff's a little bit different.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Drive, time for this day in sports history. Today is March the 26th, 2024. Here's Jeff McGuire with this day in sports history.
Yeah, and I know exactly what we'll be talking about a year from now. If you guys haven't seen the basically breaking news, Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore was hit by a container ship, mm-hmm. and it has collapsed
right
in Baltimore. Don't know a ton of details other than the bridge no longer exists.
Oh, no.
There's video of it. You can see all
I've
over
just seen video of this, of the bridge collapsing. There were cars on the bridge.
Oh, sure. It's a busy bridge.
And there's like 20 people in the water. They've rescued a couple.
Oh,
but we will definitely be talking that about a year from now, because we will know more a year from now. But going back in history, 1937, Joe DiMaggio takes Ty Cobb's advice and replaces his 40-ounce bat with a 36-ounce one. 1960, Orioles and Reds series planned for Havana is moved to Miami. I wonder why they wouldn't want baseball players in 1960 playing a baseball game in Havana.
It's kind of banned.
Well, not yet, but...
The Cuban Missile Crisis.
Tensions were high,
yes.
1974, George Foreman TKOs Ken Norton in the second round of the WBA... For the WBA, WBC, and the Ring Heavyweight Boxing titles in Venezuela. And you know who Ken Norton is, right?
Yes.
He's the father of Ken Norton Jr., mm-hmm. who played for the Dallas Cowboys and San Francisco 49ers. Yeah. 1979, Major League Baseball, San Diego Padres, and San Francisco Giants announced plans to play an exhibition series in Tokyo. But apparently, Chuck Hines was playing on the Giants that year, and he got the rest of the Giant players to reject the idea.
Well, I don't have a problem with a preseason game or an exhibition game. It's regular season games and opening day, the most sacred day of all, starting in Seoul, South Korea. So pardon me for being American.
1994.
They're not going to bring one of their soccer matches over to the United States and say, hey, take our most valuable thing here, our biggest asset that we've got, and by all means, have it in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. No, we've got to move Major League Baseball games to Seoul, South Korea for some godforsaken reason because, you know, we can just do that to have opening day over there, not have the bunting that we have here. No, we got to ship the bunting to Seoul, South Korea. Hell, they probably made it there.
Boy, that was an expensive trip to get back home, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'd also say, isn't the World Cup being played both the men's and women's in the United States here pretty quick?
Yeah, they bid that out. We didn't bid out opening day, at least not yet.
1994, American Bonnie Blair skates a world record 500 meters for the ladies in 38.99 seconds in Calgary, Alberta.
She was outstanding. Skater. I mean, she just was unbelievable.
I mean, you could say that about anybody that breaks a world record, but yes.
And she had multiple gold medals and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff.
And in 2003, Andre Emmett scored 29 points to lead Texas Tech past Georgia Tech 80-72 in an NIT quarterfinal game, sending Bob Knight to the tournament semifinals for the sixth time in his 37 years as a head coach. It's National Nougat Day and National Spinach Day.
Nougat?
Nougat.
Like what's inside a Milky Way?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Happy birthday. Keira Knightley is 39. Steven Tyler, 76. Kenny Chesney, 56. Martin Short, 74. Von Miller, 35. Jennifer Gray, 64. Marcus Allen, 64. John Stockton, 62. And Christian Javier is 27. And while West Wing fans out there can quote with me that Andrew Jackson, in the main foyer of the White House, had a 2-ton block of cheese. It was there for any and all who were hungry. This was not the first time that a 1,200-plus pound of cheese, block of cheese, was a gift to the president. In 1804, a block of cheese was presented to Thomas Jefferson in gratitude for his support of religious tolerance. Well, after almost 2 years, it was time for the cheese to go. So on this day in 1804, President Thomas Jefferson attends a public party at the Senate and leads a diverse crowd in consuming an enormous loaf of bread dubbed the Mammoth Loaf, named after the mammoths that had been found outside of New York in 1801. President Jefferson stepped up, pulled out his pocket knife, and cut the first slice of bread. According to written observations, the party quickly degenerated into a noisy, drunken affair. And that is this day in sports history.
This day in sports history. We missed a birthday yesterday, and I discovered it after the fact during our show, and I got miscombobulated and didn't bring it up, but we missed a couple of birthdays. Did you bring up Howard Cosell yesterday?
I did not.
Yeah. Howard Cosell's birthday was yesterday. Maybe one of the first, you know, sportscasters that people love to hate, to the point where during Monday Night Football games, for years, they would have at bars and restaurants, when Howard Cosell was in town in that particular city, they would set up a TV and people could throw a brick through it when Howard's face appeared on it. That was a real thing. That was his... It was his birthday yesterday. He's been dead since 1995. And not dead, but, you know, damn lucky not to be dead. Jim Lovell, Apollo 13, celebrated his 96th birthday yesterday. So Jeff and I...
It's getting up there.
Jeff and I missed that. Yeah, I mean, for a guy that, you know, in 1970, you know, celebrated a birthday and then got up in space and you're like, I'm I'm not sure you're going to have another one. hope you had a good one there at 42. But he got another 54 as a result. So of them saving his bacon up there. All right, so 6:52 this morning here on the morning drive. Somebody wants to know, can you train Winfield to say every time after a foul ball?
I don't think I can.
Okay.
Yeah.
I saw the story. I didn't bother to read all of it.
I'll give it a try, though.
Will you?
Give it a try. Yeah.
Could he do kind of do a little. Mm-hmm. But if you taught him to bark, then that probably wouldn't be good.
Yeah, we don't want to bark in there.
Yeah, we don't want to bark
yapping.
We don't want a whole lot of.
That is one of my favorite things about today's broadcast, though. Like the pregame, it's going to be almost constant barking in the background.
Yeah.
And like first pitch is going to happen, and it's going to like all settle down at about the same time. Like all the dogs have been like, okay, I barked. I'm now just sitting, watching. No more barking. It's a weird thing to listen to, and it's not something I think I would notice if I was at the ballpark, but listening on the radio broadcast, it's, you know, bark, 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 and then just a baseball game.
Would you be taking Indiana to the ballpark today?
I will not be, for the same reason that Jamie isn't taking Winfield.
Because
the timing
working.
Of it is inconvenient.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I like this much better when it was a 6 o'clock first pitch. I understand why it's not a 6 o'clock.
Sure. Would you have today?
The thought would cross my mind.
Could he handle?
Oh,
that?
Sure.
He could. Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't know if he
would not leave my side.
Okay.
Well, he would be cowering between my 2 feet most of the day.
Okay.
Because he is in fact scared of his own shadow. But yeah, we would have gone.
Okay. Scared of his own shadow. He'd have drug him. Drug him to the park. He'd have been fine.
He'd have been fine.
Okay.
We'd have gotten a big bag of popcorn, been just fine.
Would he have eaten some popcorn?
Oh, 100%.
Well, good for him. All right, 6:54 this morning here on the morning drive. Thank you for being with us today. Your thoughts, your comments, your reactions to things on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. We'd love to hear them. Go to the T973 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank, or you can phone them in on the Visual Edge IT hotline at 806-771-0973. We'll have Red Raider baseball today. High noon for the warm-up show, 12:30, first pitch from Dan Lawfield at Rip Griffin Park.
The Morning Drive podcast from T973 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I don't know why Jeff is acting like two 50-plus-year-old men should know what DuckTales is all about and know their lines from him.
Yeah.
Seems a little odd to me. But my guess is that Choice and Clint would probably say the same thing that Jeff is saying. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm not that much younger than you are, Jamie. This should have been in your wheelhouse.
DuckTales?
DuckTales. DuckTales, Tailspin, Chippendale Rescue Rangers, the Gummy Bears. Like, this was after school getting home.
I like to eat Gummy Bears. Yeah, after school, I got home, and I grabbed my glove, and I went outside and played ball. I was watching DuckTales.
Okay. This is completely outside of my wheelhouse. I mean, if you'd have said something like Cocomelon or Bluey or, Thomas the Train or something like that, I'm probably all in just because.
Again, none of that was something that you watched. It was stuff that the
boys watched, yeah.
Yeah, your grandchildren.
Yeah, but, you know, kind of watched it with them.
Again, you're an adult male who doesn't watch cartoons very much.
PJ Maxx, I liked PJ Maxx. Mickey's Roadster Racers, that was something me and the young phenom liked to watch a lot. But anyway, DuckTales did not make the cut on that. So there you go. All right.
The next thing you're going to tell me is you don't know you learn something that knowing is half the battle, you don't know what that's from either. You're going to tell me that you don't know what that's from, and that's going to bother everybody too.
I don't know what that's from. Knowing is half the battle.
Well, now you know, and knowing is half the battle.
What is that from?
Oh, wow. G.I. Joe.
Okay.
I watched that. I don't remember that either.
That was the end of every episode. They had the little TV spot for the kids, and they learned how to do, they learned something important about safety or whatever, and it was Duke or somebody who always ended up. Yeah. Well, now you know, and knowing's half the battle.
Mm-hmm. I always,
But I can tell you when to sacrifice bunt, and I can tell you how to field a ground ball. Tell you correctly how to use a crossover dribble and a spin move.
Okay.
You know?
Man, you know, if you were, and I'm not saying that you are, if you were an Aggie dad, those Aggies would have hit their free throws a lot better than they did the other night, or even a Baylor dad, you would have helped them with their free throws as well.
Man.
I know. Sorry about you, right?
Yeah, it breaks my heart.
All right, here we go. Some things from Red Raider Baseball with Tim Tadlock yesterday. He said that Mac Huerta went to the same high school as Clayton Beter.
Who did?
I'm saying his name wrong. I'm sorry. The pitcher.
For UCF?
Parker Hutera.
Mac Huer. Yeah. He's from Georgia.
Mac Huer. Yeah, I'm sorry. I put those two guys together. I'm sorry. I just had his last name on my notes here. Parker Hutera went to the same high school as Clayton Beter.
Okay.
And the coach of those guys, the high school coach of those guys, used to pitch for Coach Tadlock.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And Coach Tadlock said, and he gave his name, and I can't remember his name. I didn't get that. I was listening. I wasn't taking notes. I was actually listening. He said that coach, if he could have thrown 5 or 6 miles an hour more, he'd have been in the big leagues for 15 years, just based on his mindset and his craftiness and his ability to get guys out.
Okay.
So anyway, I thought that was kind of cool. Jeff Haxton asked Coach Tadlock if he...
Speaking of Clayton Beter, got the news that he's... made the active roster for the Yankees to start the season.
So awesome. Awesome. Good for him. Yeah, that is great. That's great news for him. Mm-hmm. So maybe that maybe Parker Hutera can follow in his footsteps.
He's pretty talented.
Okay.
Yeah, a little early to predict it, but yeah, he's got a shot.
If he comes up to you today and says, "Hey, from now on just call me Mac," then you'll know that he was a Morning Drive listener.
Call me Mac.
Ooh. Parker Hutera. Oh.
Okay, I'll tell you. Okay.
If he calls you Mac.
Yeah.
Hey, just call me Mac.
All right.
Just call me Mac.
Okay. All right. Whatever he wants me to call.
Oh, God. Let's see. Jeff asked Coach Tadlock if he was a fan of March Madness, and he said that he had watched the hoops, especially the A&M game versus Houston. He got kind of pulled into that game, and he said he found it intriguing, the whole foul or not to foul went up by three, you know, in the waning moments of a game, and he was really interested in that strategy, and he goes, I was trying to relate that to baseball, and is there a decision? He goes, I guess it would be, if you had the bases loaded, do you walk somebody? Like, and then he referenced Barry Bonds.
Okay.
But he said that. He said he almost watched the Stanford game, the Stanford women's game, which was against Baylor, and Baylor won that game. He said he really likes watching the women play and how they move the ball around. And then he referenced how well they shoot and referenced Krista. And I'm assuming he meant Krista Gerlich from watching her play when she was here, you know, 30 years ago. Then he talked about, he said, and then this is pure Coach Tadlock. He kind of got off on a tangent, Jamie, and you can relate to this. He said, and then he goes, you know, I like, when my son was younger, we'd go to the gym. He goes, and my son had this friend named Bob. He goes, and one night Bob was making shot after shot after shot. And he goes, and I said to him, Bob, you should spend more time in the gym. I just thought that was great. He said, Bob, you know, Coach Tadlock's son's friend named Bob, who was just making a ton of shots. And he said, he should spend more time in the gym. So I don't know if that meant like his baseball wasn't as good as his basketball and that maybe you should focus
just
on.
Stick with basketball.
Stick with basketball, right. So I thought that was pretty cool. that he brought that up, and that he was, you know, in tune with, you know, with going, because other coaches, I mean, they get that. And it was so funny on Saturday during March Madness with the different schools that were kind of referenced to Duke, Duquesne, the Duke Blue Devils, and there was one other school that was in reference to that, and they were doing like this pop quiz, you know, on the at the half there with Barkley and Kenny the Jet Smith and Ernie Johnson Jr. And they were saying, of these three schools, which one was the first to win a soccer championship in their school in the sport of soccer? And of course, the answer was Duke. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this was on Friday, and so I sent this to Tom Stone. I said, just now at the half Duke game, the question was, which of Duke's first national championships in school history was soccer? Duke, James Madison, or Duquesne? And I said, never gets old, does it? And he texted me back. He said he saw that. He goes, that was so random. He said, my phone was blowing up. And of course, Tom Stone scored the winning goal in that game for Duke to win them a national championship. And then he says he enjoys our show every morning on his way to practice.
He listens a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, he's a good liar, isn't he? We should really give him credit for that.
He provides feedback to Jamie.
If he doesn't like it, he sure listens a lot to be angry. Because he does give me feedback, yeah. I mean, lets me know when I'm out of line.
What about, I'm sure he looks at me and was like, just shakes his head probably.
He feels bad that you don't have a better co-host.
Oh, no, I think he feels bad for you.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Time now for Jamie's question of the day on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
All right, I have a very simple question for you.
Mm.
It's Red Raider baseball. Who is your team MVP up to this point in the season?
Team MVP. A team MVP. Team MVP. Well, there's part of me that wants to say, I'll say Damian Bravo.
Okay.
I mean, I picked him because he's got 30 RBI, he's got 16 doubles, 38 hits, 452 batting average. He's walked 11 times, and Texas Tech is, I'm just reading this off the notes, 15-1. I don't know. This is not walking around knowledge for me. I mean, I'm being honest. He's 15-1 when he drives in a run. That's pretty damn impressive when you've won 17 games.
Feels like he should be driving in some more runs with that kind of statistic. It's hard to give you one specific answer because I feel like you've had a bunch of guys, I don't want to say that have been up and down, but have carried the load, I guess, of the way to describe it. But you've also had those same guys have some struggles this year that have been heads either offensively or defensively that have been kind of head scratchers. I don't want to give it to one of the starting pitchers, although I think you can make the case for one of them.
I bet you JB does.
Sure. I also don't like giving the MVP to somebody who only plays once a week. That doesn't mean they're not the best player on the team, but if you're only playing once a week when you're playing four or five games, it makes it hard.
You're probably not a fan of Cy Young winners getting MVPs either.
There's reasons for it to happen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like when Justin Verlander did it, there was no argument that he was the most valuable player in baseball that year for everything that he was doing. But you it's got to be that special of a thing. Cade McGee's jumping to mind right now, but only because he's hitting so well recently. I don't know that I would have said that a couple of weeks ago. But that's what I'll stick with for the moment. He's the MVP right now. How's that for a long-winded, non-inclusive answer?
That's fine. I mean, it's a good answer. His defense is also pretty good over in the hot corner. So, He deserves to be in the conversation. I think if you're going with an offensive guy, I think Damian Bravo's the right name. When your offense has been rolling, it's when Damian's been rolling. When it scuffled there for a little bit, your offense, Damian was also scuffling. And, you know, the Baylor series in that stretch, he wasn't hitting well and the team wasn't scoring a lot of runs. And it seems like he's a really key guy. I'm having a hard time with this one. And, you know, it's not just about numbers, but it's about when guys come up big for you. And I have a hard time running away from Kyle Robinson on this one just because, you know, he was so good in that game against Baylor. When you really needed him to be, without that, you end up getting swept in that series. I think he's been massive for you. And then you're coming right back after you lose the first game to BYU. He comes up with another phenomenal pitching performance. And so those are big. I guess I agree with kind of what Jeff's saying. It's hard to give it to a guy who only plays once a week, you know, over a guy like Bravo who's competing every day and doing great things. But if I'm going with a pitcher, I'm not going with Kyle Robinson. I'm going with Josh Sanders. That's a guy that's used twice, sometimes three times a week. And he's been so good for the Red Raiders this year. You're just, you know, in close games, he's the guy you're going to, and he's hanging zeros for you. And so I think the right answer is Bravo because he's an everyday player and his numbers are the best. But if I'm going with a pitcher, I'm actually going with a relief pitcher. And Josh Sanders, I think he's been really, really good. And I guess Coach Tadlock said last night that he's good to go after getting hit in the foot.
That's good news.
Yeah, that's great news. That's phenomenal news. I don't know. I'm going to go with Josh Sanders as my answer.
Okay. Some thoughts from the Yates Flooring Center chat line here. Get your thoughts on this. Tyler says, Dylan Maxey stepped up when Kevin Bazell went down and might not have had the same offensive numbers, but he provided stability.
Yeah, no, his offensive numbers were really good.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about Maxey's, I mean, the key hits that Maxey has for you so far this year. I mean, go to the game winner in New Mexico when you're down a run and he has a two-out pinch hit, three-run double, wins you the game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go to Waco on Friday night when you have just one run. Maxey was the only guy that could drive in a run. Remember, the first one was driven in on a hit by pitch with a two out double. Okay, again an RBI double, and you win that game 2-0, 1-0, and 2-0 going to the ninth is a big difference. Okay, and then go back to Friday night. You lose on Thursday, you got everything going and you're feeling good about Friday, you're 3-1 in the ninth, and then all of a sudden the air is taken out of the place with the two-run homer and you're tied and it's like, oh my goodness, Tech could lose this series on Friday. Mm-hmm. And Maxey's a leadoff hitter and doubles and, you know, Stripling hits him in, but that was huge. He was 3-for-4 in that game and also threw out a runner attempting to steal. So he was massive on that night. So there's three times where you can really look at Dylan Maxey and say, that guy right there was massive. And I think that's a great answer by the texter.
Somebody else said Dylan Maxey as well.
Yeah, he definitely deserves to be in the conversation. I see it. Tyler was the first one I saw.
Yeah, no, you're right. Who do you think Coach Tadlock would say I know he's not, but if you pinned him down and said, hey, I'm going to squirt mud in your eyes if you don't tell me who.
He might take the mud in his eyes.
I think Tadlock would go with an offensive guy. I think he'd go with Bravo.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's been solid defensively too.
Noah says Landon Stripling. And then somebody, Syntex Hank, says, Jamie is the MVP, MVB, the most valuable broadcaster, because he's been there every time. Okay.
Missed one on Saturday.
That's okay.
Almost every time.
Almost. Yeah. Almost every time. So,
this is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Jamie Litt and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. 38 states is the number that... have legal sports betting, and then
I already know that from gambling expert Choice Woodman.
Choice Woodman, right. 29 permit wagering online.
I bet that guy loses a lot of money gambling.
There's plenty of gambling that goes on in this town, I can assure you that. There's plenty of people that have...
Oh, do tell, Chuck. Who are the gamblers that you know that are placing bets illegally that want to have the state troopers knock on their door today?
I have plenty of friends that gamble in sports.
Yeah. It's prevalent. Big Huey says we won't get gambling because Texas politicians love to legislate everyone's morality. Okay, well, when missed sales tax opportunity is greater than everyone's morality, which is won't take long to get there. We'll have sports betting. Jamie, most people with common sense do look at it and ask, "How are you that dumb?" But yet it happens over and over and over again. Just face it, people are dumb. People are strange too.
Remember, right, Jeff? Common sense, not that common.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I do some pretty dumb things myself, so
yeah.
I'm not going to try to act like I don't do some dumb things. I've had some moments. Yeah.
Of being dumb.
Oh, yes, yeah,
me
lots
too.
Of them.
Oh yeah, me too. Plenty of stupid stuff and usually, you know,
and that's like, what my wife's there to remind me of them. All of them.
Does she ever do anything dumb?
Does she do anything dumb? Like park too far to the middle of the garage? I think that's really dumb. Really bothers me.
Why don't you paint a line for her?
It's just too much to focus on pulling to closer to her side, I guess.
Okay. Is she on the left?
It's not really dumb. It's just
I'm going to guess. Which side of the garage do you park on? I'm going to guess the right.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to guess the right because here's my theory on that is that you will park closer to the wall knowing that you're the first one out of the house and you know that you can rely on the person that gets out of her car not to ding your door because you're so close to the wall on the right-hand side, knowing that you're going to allow for somebody to not be smart in parking where they're supposed to. So you compensate for them.
It's either that or my vehicle's a little bit shorter than hers and the freezer refrigerator is in front of my vehicle.
Okay, yeah.
So all of that you said or the actual truth, just the freezer's in front of my car.
I kind of like my story better. Yeah, 8:18 this morning here on the morning drive. Thoughts, comments, Yates Flooring Center chat line. Do you have any opinion of this new rule in the National Football League that, quote, eliminates and bans the hip drop tackling technique? The violation now results in a 15-yard penalty if flagged in games.
I explained the hip dropping.
Yeah, there and that's where it is. You know, is
like you grab a guy around the hip, and then you kind of lift up and then push into him.
The hip. It's more of using your body, like catching somebody from the behind or from the side, and using your body weight as leverage to pull them down from the hips.
Yeah, from the lower extremities. The hip. This is from the ESPN article. The hip drop tackling ban was written to address only a subset of the rugby tackling style that has spread around the NFL in recent years, according to the competition committee chairman Rich McKay. The tackling technique results in lower body injuries. Here's what the rule requires officials to note two actions. If a defender grabs the runner with both hands or wraps the runner with both arms and also unweights himself by swiveling and dropping his hips and or lower body, landing on and trapping the runner's legs at or below the knee. McKay clarified the rule change, saying it doesn't eliminate the hip drop tackle, only the swivel technique that doesn't get used very often. I mean, a lot of defensive guys have come out and said, well, why don't you just put flags on these guys? And then the other thing is that I think the more that you have to interpret, the more that this will get probably miscalled, or some officials will call it one way and other officials will call it another way. And it'll lead to more controversy, especially in playoff games when this is called and it gives a team a first down that maybe they shouldn't have gotten, or better field position to set up a game-winning field goal or something along those lines. The NFL Players Association was against this. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
You really had a good point.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm done.
Talk.
No, I'm done. Oh, you're not going to talk? Come on. What were you going to say? Go ahead.
I don't remember.
Oh, no, don't play that game. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have interrupted you. I'm sorry. The NFL Executive Vice President Jeff Miller said there were 230 instances of the tackling technique occurring during a game last season, with 15 players missing time as a result. So
it just seems like a somewhat normal play in football that's going to be impossible to take out of the game. Football is a vicious, violent sport, and it doesn't feel like, and I can understand why guys get hurt on this play.
Mm-hmm.
It's similar to other plays, but I just be a hard attempt to try to take it out of the game.
When the players stop suing the NFL, they'll stop trying to make the game safer.
Well, the NFL Players Association, like I said...
They can say that they don't like the rule all they want, but they're still going to be suing the NFL when somebody gets hurt in a game from a drop tackle because they weren't doing enough to protect the players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look at the concussion lawsuit that
when the players quit suing the NFL, they'll quit making the game safer. And that's what the NFL owners are trying to do right now, is make the game safer so people don't get hurt.
And they're trying to keep their superstars in the game because that makes it a better product.
Yeah, and there's more protection of the quarterback today than what there has.
They're protecting their investment, and they don't want to be sued.
Yeah.
Who knew? They're like everybody else.
Matthew says this, and you think he's right about this, Jamie, because that's what you responded. I believe that's the type of tackle that took out Dak Prescott and his ankle.
Yeah, I think so. I remember back to that play. Feels like it was one of those. You know, I feel like the horse collar that they've started calling, it will do the same thing to you, injure you in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like that one's so much easier to call because you can tell if the guy's from behind and he's grabbing the back, whatever. I feel like that one's so much easier to call. I just feel like this one's going to be really difficult to call.
And we all say that, you know, when we're watching TV. Ah, it's a horse collar, right? I mean, we all do. Or at least we do at my house.
I don't do that.
You don't do that. You don't belt that out while you're watching the game.
I did not belt really anything out.
Yeah. You know, it's a disease I suffer from. I mean, I could probably go to some counseling for that, Jamie. I'm sorry. 8:24 this morning here on the morning drive. Your thoughts, your comments, Yates Flooring Center chat line. Go to the T973 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank for that. Visual Edge IT hotline is open as well at 806-771-0973. Red Raider baseball today at high noon on both 100.7 The Score and here on T973 Balls and Strikes.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of T973 podcasts at T973.com.